Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, thank you so much for staying with us. So 16 days of activism comes to an end today. And I'm just curious, especially for all of us who live in this country, who know what the scourge of gender-based violence and femicide is like, because it doesn't only exist in the 16 days. What you make of the 16 days of activism, and whether this particular campaign, let's maybe stick with this year, whether it has an impact on you, how did you feel about it? Did it move you at all? 086-000-00959. Love to hear from you as well on WhatsApp on 063-688-0959. Director of Women's Empowerment Organization, Wise for Africa, Advocate Brenda Madumise is on the line with us this evening. Advocate Madumise, thank you so much for your time. And as always, thank you for making time for us at this late hour.
You're most welcome, Pamela. Good evening.
It's 16 days has come and go. We always hear. In a way, I'm not sure if it actually does what it's supposed to do. We've got lots of moving parts. We say many, many things. We've got the National Strategic Plan. But Advocate Madumise, I'm not sure we're moving the needle at all. And so I'm asking you, Are you more optimistic than I am with regards to all of these other ideas and campaigns and what we are saying, because we are saying a lot? Do you think we are moving the needle at all?
I think some of these things there's an obligation to do, right? So 16 days of activism of no violence against women is a global calendar, right? So it's observed all over the world. So we are obligated as a country to do so, right? It's what we do that gets domesticated. So it has to have a domestic flavor so that it becomes relevant to the citizens of this country. So that's the first thing, right? The second thing is that for over the many years, we have used it as an event-driven, We because it was an obligation to do so, we wanted to tick a box that we have done something, right? So that when we report internationally, we say during 16 days of activism, this is what we did. But, you know, we have not measured the impact of that 16 days. In the 16 days, are you able to test whether the last 300 and something days have they meant to mental advocates? The interventions and the programs and the strategies that we have put in place over the other many days in the year leading to 16 days, have, when you take stock, can you safely say that you move in that middle, right? So for me, 16 days is about reflecting on what you have been doing in part of the year, so that then you can give yourself a record of some sort to say we have failed dismally in X, but on Y we have moved a bit, right? On P we still have a lot of work to do. So we have not done that because we are largely driven by events. That's the problem.
And in many ways, we do have, I'd say maybe let's call it intention, to sound like we're doing something, to look like we're doing something, as you said, to prove using photographs and so on that we've had an event and so on. But let's talk a little bit about the National Strategic Plan, for instance. And the president speaks about that a lot and saying, you know, they are committed to its implementation, but there's no funding. So I'm still stuck on whether some of the things we are saying, they don't have the power that's required to move the needle forward.
It's not about power. I think it's a lack of agency, a lack of consciousness from the leaders of this country. When they speak right, they walk left, right? And so when you have a national strategic plan that you know is the roadmap to assist you to address gender violence in this country, and you have not put the resources, what does it say to you? So why do you keep on mentioning it when you know deep down but you don't mean what you're saying, right? Because you really are playing to the gallery when you come out and say these things. And for me, that's a travesty that you have the leadership, the kind of leadership that really plays to the gallery and looking for optics. Yeah, and we're looking for the right optics so that someone can say, but he did mention, she did mention it, and he said he's going to do something about it. When in truth, there's absolutely nothing. Why haven't this government institutionalized this national strategic plan? Why is not part of every government department's program and intervention, right? Why is it that in the annual performance plans of every government department, you don't see it? And that's the issue.
So there is government, and it's just, you know, I don't know. The political will doesn't seem to be there to do the right thing, as you've just pointed out. And then there's us. Because one of the things that happens, and I can tell you right now, at this very moment, someone is throwing something at the radio saying, there they go again. And I'm trying to understand at what point and how are we going to speak to the very person who actually needs to change? Because as we speak, it sometimes feels like we are speaking to the converted. And it's usually a woman problem. Society doesn't see it as our problem. There those women again. You know, it's that kind of an attitude. What needs to happen for us to reach the person that actually is the one who's a perpetrator in this way?
So what we need to move away from is making it to look like it's a woman's problem and putting it squarely in the Department of Women, right? That's the first thing. So remove it from there, right? Make it a government-wide intervention, right? So that's why I talk about every department. It can't be one department. It can't be social development because we're dealing with social issues, and social issues is about women again, right? So social development, maybe justice, but the responsible department is the department of women, and the attitude towards the department is that it's women, let them sort themselves out, right? So that's the issue. That's the first thing. The second thing is, when we can't talk about it in isolation of everything else that we are doing, right? You can't see it as Minister of Finance and not see when you announce a budget and talk about how you're going to change the tax law, or you're looking at your fiscal policy and all of that, and how that fiscal policy contributes towards gender violence, right? And the subjugation and discrimination of women that leads to violence. So we've always said to them, all of you have got a stake in creating awareness and being the champions of talking the positive language and understanding how violence manifests itself, and being able to draw the linkages in the work that you do in the speeches that you make. So you can't wait for a speech because it's International Women's Day, it's Women's Day, it's 16 days, and all the other days when you are addressing, wherever you are addressing, you don't draw those linkages. And that, for me, is what is missing.
What needs to happen to get government to see it differently?
It's them understand, having this consciousness that I talk about, heightened levels of consciousness. There's something that happens when we start talking about women's issues and gender equality and equity and gender violence. People just want to shut and want to pretend that it's not their issue. They don't have a claim in it. They can't talk about it, right? They can't even propose solutions because, no, it's not my issue. That's not true. Everyone else needs to see it as being part of the solution, right? That they are also part of the problem because we are complicit in perpetuating it, in normalizing it, in just minimizing its impact on victims. So until such time we realize that all of us are linked to its manifestation, to its rearing its ugly head. We gotta leave it to the converted, preaching to the converted, and not getting anywhere.
Yeah. And in fact, you know, I'm curious how many people know the content of the National Strategic Plan itself on GBV.
I'm sure it's not even 5% of the population.
You see what I'm saying? And it's all of our responsibility in a way. But that's quite scary for me, because if we are speaking of something and we're advocating for something and actually the entire population doesn't know what on earth we're on about, it's again, you know, not going to take us very far.
Absolutely. And I think what is telling is a week ago when the HSRC released their study, their prevalence study, surely that should have been, we should have been preoccupied with that as a nation.
Yes.
Because it's telling us something, right? Mm. What did we get? It was very few people. In fact, what came out most strongly was men coming out to say, oh, you see, we've been telling you, men also get violated and they, you see that?
Mm-hmm.
It became us and them instead of looking at what that study was telling us. So we pick up what makes us comfortable, what makes us to create a drama around it. So for me, when that study came out and South Africans were not seized with that, the outcome and the findings of that study, it told me that we've got a long way to go. Because if that study paints a picture, and it's not a good picture.
For me, it felt a little bit like the Bible, where you pick for yourself the little elements that affirm your bias, you know, and that makes a difficult conversation because you've isolated the things that make you say, you see, we've been telling you, instead of looking at the holistic picture.
Exactly. That's where we are. And surely then it means all of us, but paramount is government taking that, the findings of that study and its recommendation, and say, how do we bring them in, right, into everyday work, right? Mm-hmm. Is the private sector interacting with that and seeing which part of that study they can take up and drive, right?
Mm.
It's the trade union doing the same. Is the churches doing the same? Is the traditional leadership doing the same? Is the universities doing the same? Is the schools doing the same? Is the workplace doing the same? Is at an individual level looking and saying, if we get told that the majority of men in this country believe that women should obey themselves, what do we need to do?
Mm.
So it requires all of us to act and do something about it.
How optimistic are you? You're always optimistic when I talk to you. How optimistic are you?
I can't give up, right? There are days where I think, man, we are fighting a losing battle. But there are days where I get motivated and we keep on pushing and pushing through. It's hard. I mean, it's very hard because this thing is complex.
Mm-hmm.
Because it happens at an individual level, right? So yesterday I was having a conversation and saying, you know, what saddens me in this country at the moment is the I don't know whether you experience this, but I see high levels of macroaggression, right?
Mm.
When you talk to someone, they just lash out, right? It's happening in the street when you're trying to say to someone, no, you can't do this, they just decide to want to beat you up, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's on the road, it's happening. So when we have a society that is wired in that manner, oh my goodness, we are in trouble. We're in trouble. And that for me, it has been occupying my mind for a long time, because I see it. And I mean, you say to someone, this is wrong, when you see them, and the person wants to beat you up, and you ask yourself, why? I'm just showing you that this is wrong, what you're doing. You walk into a retail shop, someone who's serving you is chewing gum, and you want to say to them, please, and they're talking as you must be served, and they want to fight you.
I was here first. I was here. Serve me. Didn't you see that? Yeah. I was here first.
Yeah.
And it becomes a real fight. It becomes a real fight.
Yeah. It does. So, you know, we really have to introspect. We really have to introspect as human beings, as citizens of this country, as people who claim to love this country. How do we love it when we are contributing to its demise, right? And we can't keep on pointing fingers at others. I mean, I challenged a colleague. We were driving to court, and I happened to overhear the conversation. And the conversation is about going to Home Affairs. They've got someone who can help them. So after the call, I say, "But you are aware that that's corruption."
Corruption, yeah.
He says, "No, I don't care because I have to be helped." You know, when someone helps you, you have to give them something. So I'm saying that person is a civil servant. They've got a duty to assist you, to help you, and to serve you. So why do you think you should be giving cold drink money? And she paused for a minute and realized that what she has been doing is something, but she didn't see herself as contributing towards corruption, right? But we can point a finger to others. But we don't see what we do because we think it's just for our convenience. I don't have to be in a queue at Home Affairs because I've got someone that I know.
What I'm hearing you say is that until we see how all other aspects of our lives somehow are interconnected, and we deal with those, whether it is depression, whether it is your economic pressures, whatever it is, that maybe force you to feel some kind of way and find you quite aggressive with your loved ones or your partners, until we get to deal with all those elements and parts of ourselves, the economic situations and all of that, we're not really going to be dealing with the end result, which is the gender-based violence and femicide.
And, absolutely.
Yeah.
You got it.
It's a tall ask, and what has to happen here is that everybody has to understand how they are part of the solution or are adding to the problem. In other words, if I have someone who works for me who is a father of four and is underpaid, is up at four in the morning, leaves the office late, and is frustrated, has long hours, by the time he gets home, he is fed up. He is fed up, underpaid, and he's been on the road all day, undermined at work. It's bound to happen, and it's bound to affect the family.
Because we dehumanize people. So when you have people waiting in the rain for a taxi, right, because we have not made provision for them, but they're waiting in these malls, right? So I don't know how many of us see people waiting for the taxi. So when you have a city that allows and give permission for a mall to be established, but they have not considered the people who work there, how they're going to access the transport mode, right? Whatever mode that they're using. But they have to stand outside, whether it's rains, whether it's dusty, whether it's cold, they have to wait outside and for a taxi. And you're dehumanizing people on a daily basis. You're waiting for 30 minutes in the rain, and you have to get home to be a functional parent. Right? A functional parent and be loving to your children and your partner. You're bound to lash out. And to crack.
And you speak of the malls. I've been horrified at how malls don't seem to think workers have the right to sit and have lunch. It's for me the most bizarre thing. There's nowhere to sit. People are not allowed to sit and take a break.
Yeah.
You know, you must pay a restaurant for you to sit and have a break.
Yeah, that's how we don't see other people as people who deserve to be treated with dignity. We don't realize when we say they must be there at 8 o'clock that they have left their children unattended.
Yes, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
We don't understand that they get home at 8 because of the transport. We have not provided proper transport. Someone has to take some taxis to get home. By the time they get home, they don't see their children. So there's no parenting that is happening.
It's also, I suppose, a conversation we need to have with ourselves. So those who have domestic workers, and you absolutely refuse for the poor lady to have leave, and you do not think about the implications of their situation at home.
Yeah.
When you are not interested about their home situation, the husband gets agitated and you couldn't be bothered. You just want them here in your home 24/7, and they can only go
be at 7.
Yeah. Mm. And they must only go home once in Easter and in Christmas. How it affects her well-being and her family life.
And we don't even ask, but because we don't ask.
Yeah. Well,
All of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of that is something for us to consider. But, I mean, the conversation has to continue. So I really appreciate you indulging us. And thank you for your time, Advocate.
No, thank you, Prima. Thank you for having me.
Director of Women's Empowerment Organization, Advocate Brenda Madumise. She's that organization is called Wise for Africa. And thank you very much, Advocate Madumise. I asked you earlier about your sentiments around 16 days of activism around GBV and femicide. And we had a conversation with Advocate Madumise. You heard what she had to say there. Let me go to Anonymous. And has a comment on the issue. Anonymous, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, sister. How are you? No, I'm good. And I want to talk about this thing in gender-based violence to say I wish there could be more education around it. Because, here, like I'm looking at the head, especially in Havana. For example, I'm the firstborn in my family. I'm 22. Mm-hmm. And I was doing my first year this year. And then my stepfather was beating my mom until, she decided to say stop and Umulele case. Mm. And what happened is she opened the case and then they came and taking it. It's been 2 months now. And now you know what he's doing because Kenan Apatera ran the Muri healing and stuff. Now he's already about to come and tell my mom to say, she must go and drop the case and then he'll be able to pay off. And my mom said no last month. Then I had to sell my laptop and then rapatela rent. We'll be able to pay rent. And this month, he even told the landlord, chase them out because I won't be able to pay anymore. Because, now, Mali put the bargain
protection order.
Yes, so that he cannot come closer to the house. Now he tells the landlord to kick them out. So they kicked us out yesterday. Now we don't even know where to reapply. But all I'm saying, God, as long as my mom is safe, because he wants her to drop the case and then he'll be able to pay our rent, we'll be able to have a place to stay. But I'm just saying, if a lot of men can have. But Raruti work at this thing because I'm 22 when I do this, so I'm even scared of what am I going to do now? Will I be able to now it's raining in Soshanguf and I read to Murling Remo Soshanguf crossing. Yes, paying that because I'm not working. Yeah.
Lukundi.
Yeah, I want to show crossing because the landlord then are on Yaka Chelpai. So if we don't give him the 3.5, I guess he will leave. So, yeah, because last month I took my computer, my laptop at school. So if it means early January, I won't be able to go to school because cash crusaders are giving a computer so that I can pay for 1 month. And this month, if we don't pay, her pay. So now they're chasing us out. And the family of my mother, saying, I am the one who's breaking my mother's. As family, I had the marriage because I told her to open the case, and so now everybody's blaming me. So everybody's blaming me that my mom is listening to me, I'm acting like her man because I told her to open the case. So the whole family has now turned their back on us and say, "What I know, your son with the hard hair, what people put Christmas I'm not working. I was in a Giloko school. But I'm hoping if there's anyone out there who can give me even a part-time job, I can leave my number on edge. Like anything to make sure that my mom is safe because I think I'm going to lose it to the hands of another. I think I give another statistic of Musaidi Wohovic, not material, but I rather drop out and can I get married also to everyone who can help me with any job. I'm willing to do anything as long as I'm not going to pay the rent. So there's a number of CV that I'll give it out, and anyone who wants any job, I'll be able to do it just to put my two sisters and my mother under the roof, give them food. My number is...
Wait. Have you phoned anyone, Anonymous, for help at all? Have you tried anybody?
I've tried family.
No, it's in family. Kira organizations that deal with this kind of thing.
Yo, I haven't tried any organization. Because Mukasimo, I don't know any Mona Linga social worker meeting. Because Renapila Pilar Carly Limpo Potani. So it's, because of Mama Nalekam. And then I came this side, because there is a Boston. So I thought this, it's where the greener pastures are, but it find out when we remove Matakanamaso.
Okay, so Lilene Nkostrati.
That's Amelie Maban.
And El Rubezo Gontle Maban?
Yeah, Maban, at least in the Rubezo Gograci. But today, when we're supposed to go back, but they don't allow people to sleep, and then we had to move to Sijong of the Crossing. So from transfer to Sijong of the Crossing.
Likai, Li Tufela?
There's four. My two siblings and the Mama Len.
And the one Baba Hulu, Baba Nyan Moena?
Baba Nyan Moena, I'm the firstborn. And then the youngest, only 4 years.
Four?
Yes, and then Gonzalo Asalan Namorao, only 12.
And then one that's one. Neliliku Karaching, Lili
four. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Retlo zama ho connect with some people, ne?
Yes, please.
Yeah, just hang in there. We'll try and connect you with other people. Ntato o kae? O na le protection order?
O teng yan. O saeta ko ha. Ena ke rona protection order. You cannot come anywhere to us. No protection order. O teng. Because mama are ice, you know, someone who knows, because Kiana want to hike away, and I got no, don't do it. It's a work out of normal proof. So let's rather hold the hands of the strong and remember that survive.
Okay. Gauru Anonymous, it's fine. I'm going to put you back to our producers, and then we'd rather help facilitate help. Because Batu Haba Tsepehi sometimes. So okay. Let me put you back to the producer, and then we'll take this offline.
All right.
Thank you so much for that call. That's okay. We will try and see what we can do. We will we'll try and put him in touch with the relevant people. There are organizations out there. They don't have to sleep in the street. We've spoken to a few ourselves. So what we will do is to try and make sure that the family has at least shelter for the next couple of days. But here, and in the end, this is what all of this means. In the end, we don't care much for our family members while we try to, fight our own battles. Let me take a quick break, and I've got something quite special after this.
And if you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.